We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Have you ever wondered who you were entertaining? Could it be somebody you thought it was someone, but it wasn't them? Well, listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Yes, that's in Hebrews 13, 2. And this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and today we're coming to you, and we're going to go through the book of Hebrews. We've gone through that, and now we're coming to the close, chapter 13. Alex, I know you're looking forward to this, but I've got to ask. I know you've been traveling. Where are you today, brother?
Well, I am in the Coliseum, where is the Republican National Convention. And if you hear any background noise, you know, first of all, I want to say a big thanks to all the crew and to yourself, too, for bearing with me. I've been in a bunch of noisy places this year throughout my travel. But I want to encourage everybody to pray for the Republican National Convention. I'm up here. I've been interviewing people, and I'll be doing the Hamilton Corner tonight. And among the people I'll have on the Hamilton Corner tonight is Mike Lindell of MyPillow. Yeah, okay. I've also invited Eric Trump, and he hasn't confirmed yet, but I met with him this morning and talked to him, and hopefully he'll be on with me tonight. But I'm also going to have probably Mark Arnold, who's a representative from Missouri. But, Bert, we're here, and it's exciting, but there's a lot of people seriously praying for our nation, mindful of the fact of how desperately we need to be a nation under God, turn to the Lord. And so I'm here in Milwaukee talking to lots of people on and off the record.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Alex, and you're in a very important place. Did you happen to hear any of the convention last night?
Oh, I was there till the final hurrah. You know, the Lord is so good, Bert. I got to tell you this, because here's how I wound up here. There is an event called Lead Wisconsin, which is to teach biblical worldview to teenagers. And there are some conservative Christian leaders that are involved in the Republican Party. And I spoke, and yesterday, Charlie Kirk, who's a famous commentator, and myself were speaking to youth. And part of the group that sponsors Lead Wisconsin, which is a conservative kind of worldview event for the teenagers, they said, would you like media passes? And so I said, sure, I'll take media passes, thanks. And so I brought the Comrex and all the gear and have interviewed people, and I was on Today's Issues with Tim Wildman and Ed and the guys this morning. And so I get here, and oh my goodness, went through like three levels of security. A lot, obviously, in the aftermath of Saturday, July 13, the assassination attempt on our former president. I mean, there are police everywhere, and Secret Service, met so many Secret Service people, and we said we're praying for them, and they were grateful. But with my media passes, I'm just privileged to be all over this place. And Bert, I didn't try to get on the front row, but I was literally like up against the stage last night, and of course Lee Greenwood was singing, and there were incredible speeches by Ben Carson and Nikki Haley, and of course Marco Rubio, and Laura Trump. And did you hear some of the speeches last night, Bert?
I did, but those were great. But I wasn't near as impressed with them as I was those just average citizens. One of them just gave the gospel. I want to tell you. His sister was killed, and he came on and said they had the reason they could have confidence was her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, and Dr. Ben Carson shared scripture, several shared scripture last night, and it just thrilled me to death. And I'm glad you're giving a report. I'm glad you're there, and I pray that people will listen at 5 o'clock Central Time and the Hamilton Corner, and appreciate you being there. But let's turn the tables and get to Hebrews 13, Alex, and notice what he does here in chapter 13. It is, you know, that the writer is coming to a conclusion, and he goes over several areas in this part of the scripture, but they're still related to what he's been teaching in the first 12 chapters. And notice what he said here, let brotherly love continue. You know, this is so important, this brotherly love that we should have for one another, let it continue, which means, guess what? We can bring it to a stall or even slow down or even possibly stop, but we're to let brotherly love be a part of what we're doing. Over in the book of 1 John, he wrote, he says, one of the ways you can know you're a part of the family of God is that you love one another. So, Alex, the writer of Hebrews makes this plain. It's very practical. Love one another, brothers, and that's what we need to do even today, don't we?
Well, we do, and this is such a wonderful admonition. You know, the Bible talks about how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together and there's a blessing therein. In other words, when there is unity, God promises a blessing on that. And I think one of the keys, and I know you referenced 1 John, where over and over it says, beloved, you know, he that is born of God will love others. In John 13, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one another. So love for one another. So when Hebrews 13 begins, it means keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And then it goes on, of course, very famously talking about showing hospitality. For some have entertained angels unaware. But Bert, you know, few things have turned people off from church or Christianity as ill treatment from professed Christians. And, you know, Augustine said, love is to seek the highest good of another. And we who have found Christ and we who have experienced his grace, we need to show others grace and show love because it makes a huge impact. Love makes a positive impact, and the absence of it makes a lasting negative impact too, doesn't it?
It really does. And I know you knew about Roy Rogers and Dell Evans. Now, you're younger than me, so you didn't grow up with them being your heroes. Roy Rogers and Dell Evans were my heroes. They had children of their own, but they also adopted children. And Dell Evans wrote a book, I think if I remember right, Entertained Strangers Unawares, you know, Angel Unawares. Okay. That's what it was, Angels Unawares. And it was about her daughter with special needs. And it is an awesome book. And so some of the most difficult situations, God might be in the right in the middle of it to help us to navigate what real love is. I think this is important that it says continue in brotherly love. And then it talks about entertaining strangers unawares. And then it talks about remember the prisoners as if you were in chains with them. In other words, love has some characteristics. Love is demonstrated. And here he shows this again, verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them and those who are mistreated since you yourselves are in the body also. So he is sharing with us, what does it mean to love one another? It means to get in there with them, to be a part of their lives, demonstrate this. And then he goes to verse 4, and I'll turn it back over to you. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, Alex, here he is. Let brotherly love continue. Talks about how to treat people, strangers, how to help those that are imprisoned and chained and those that are mistreated. Be careful. And then marriage being honorable. Now, listen, if we could demonstrate that in our lives, Alex, I think what you just said would not happen, hurting people because of callousness and wrong words being said and attitudes. Sounds like this is the attitude and actions that we need to have as followers of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? Hebrews is a deeply theological book. And as we've seen, you know, the first 12 chapters really, really deal with theology and who Jesus is and proving Jesus from cross-references to the Old Testament. But Hebrews 13 is practical, isn't it?
It really
is. I mean, you know, love, the call to do it and the mandate, and then even remembering those that are in prison. And then there's an affirmation of marriage and marital intimacy between a husband and wife. And then a warning against covetousness and the love of money. And as I said yesterday, I think that the 10th commandment dovetails with the first, that we're not to be covetous because it really leads to idolatry. And remember in verse 5, God has said, I will not leave you or forsake you, which is a reference to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Do you notice it really kind of says, you know, remember God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And that in itself is a reference to Psalm 118. So I think almost Hebrews 13 is as the book is beginning to conclude, it's the practical applying of all this rich theological truth.
You're exactly right. Listen, if your living is not backed up by right doctrine or truth, you're probably living in the shadows. Just like he was talking earlier, that the things that we've seen on earth, the high priest, the temple, the sacrifice, they were shadows of the real things in heaven, you know, and of Jesus Christ. Listen, if we're not living in that doctrine of truth, then what we're trying to practice will probably be off. One thing before we go to the break, and it's not very long, less than a minute, I want to go back to verse 5. And I want to use that word content. It doesn't mean that we don't strive to be excellent. It doesn't mean that we are not trying to help and make things better. But it does have the idea, Jesus is enough, okay? If everything is stripped away and everything's been taken, the way it was with Apostle Paul when he was put into prison, and everybody had forsaken him, except Luke is with me. And listen, Alex, he seemed to be content. In other words, Jesus Christ being Lord of our lives is sufficient, isn't it?
Amen. Well said. Well said. That the Lord Jesus, I mean, he needs to be enough. And I think in the affluent West, I mean, we're very blessed. We have a lot. We have prosperity and we have abundance. And I think even born-again Christians have to continually remember that really in this life, all we have is Jesus.
Amen. We'll be.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. That's a good song. Brent Austin picked out really good music for us about God's faithfulness, and God is so good to us. We are in Hebrews chapter 13, Bert Harper and I, here on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm going to resume with a verse, but again, I apologize if it sounds noisy in the background. That's just because I'm in Milwaukee and it's noisy. But Bert, we were talking about the practicality of Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 7, it gets really practical, especially around verse 9, but it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Bert, I've had a lot of leaders who've influenced my life. You've influenced my life. And when verse 7 says, consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith, I think about Edsel Hofstetler. Nobody knows that name. He's long since in heaven. I think of Mark Sink. He's in heaven. I did his funeral. I think of Dr. Pat Cronin. He's in heaven. I did his funeral. These were men that served the Lord for decades. They had struggles, health issues, family issues, but they finished well. And when I read verse 7, I think about the men that I looked up to that finished well, and it makes me want to finish well. You know, is that what this verse is sort of conveying?
It really is, and I want to add something to that because verse 8 goes with this. I just feel like I want to mention some names too, because let's remember, the Apostle Paul was a name dropper, man. Well, most of the, say in a good way, not in a bad way, in a good way. He would appreciate those that were with him and those that he was writing to, and he'd say, "I'm connected with them." Two pastors that really helped me as a young believer, and then as a young preacher. Billy Langley was my pastor when I was saved. He baptized me, and I've talked about him before. I thought he preached on the second coming of the Lord every other Sunday, and I love that.
Amen.
And then Lowell Johnson, both of them are with the Lord now, but Lowell was just a great, great Bible teacher, and he took his time to help me to look, how do you look at scriptures? How can you outline? Because I'm an outline guy. I'm not a a transcript guy. I can't write it out, but I have an outline. It's kind of like I want the skeleton, and I can put the muscle and the meat on it. And those two guys, yes, they did. They've blessed me richly. But I think it's saying something else as well. Remember these people who have influenced you, who have had rule over you, spoken the word of God to you. But they may, as you said, they were not perfect. They I seen some that blessed me and fell away in later days. But guess what happens in verse 8? Jesus Christ will not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was reading someone, and they were a pastor, and someone came up to them and because they were leaving, and they said, oh, no, I'm just not sure I can continue going if you leave. And the pastor replied, said, well, it's about time I left then, because you're not dependent upon me. Your dependence is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what it said in verses 7 and 8. Yes, it's all right to have these mentors, these role models, but they do not deserve to be elevated so high that when they get wrong, you just fall apart. It's only in Christ Jesus, Alex, that we have the affirmation of the perfect example before us, brother.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? The fact that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know, I've heard a lot of preaching on that, you know, that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, and we'll get to that verse. And it's true, he never will. And that is a comfort. That is a comfort. But also let's remember that verse 8 of Hebrews 13, our hope is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. But also let's be mindful that we will appear before Jesus and we will give an account. 1 John 2:28, do not be ashamed before him at his coming. And Bert, you and I both have been on the journey long enough. I've seen cherished leaders that stood strong till they left this world. I've, you know, been very, very sad to see some fall away. And every one of us, look at verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. When you think of false doctrine, you maybe think of somebody deny the Bible or, you know, reject the deity of Christ, and those are false. But I mean, let me say this, do not be carried away by the idea that sin doesn't have consequences. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible talks about God, whose eyes run throughout the whole earth to see whose heart is pure toward him. And Bert, we need to have sound doctrine, but we need to have humble accountability as well and stand strong.
Alex, you said it. Now look at the very middle part of verse 9. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. I just want to tell you, apart from grace, there's no hope. There was no hope in the Old Testament. That's what Hebrews is really about, saying the failure of the law to make man right with God was proven that it could not happen. You know, and it was proven again. That's reason the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that could cleanse us from all sin and not cover, just cover the sin. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. Now, I want to tell you that doesn't, if that thought or that direction makes a person say, well, it doesn't matter what I do then. I'm all right. Grace covers it all. No, if the grace of God that has appeared to all men, and then we receive Jesus Christ because of that grace, it puts us in the position of following through, Alex. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 13. Let brotherly love what? Continue.
Continue.
One of the most important words that you can find for a follower of Jesus Christ is continuing in Christ. Continue in his word. Continue in his grace. The book of Galatians says you have fallen from grace. That doesn't mean that they had once saved and now they were lost. It means, hey, you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to live by proving yourself by the law, keeping the law, rather than knowing the grace of God. And that grace of God does what? Right, according to Ezekiel, according to Jeremiah, he writes the law on our hearts. In other words, it comes from the outward man, the inward man to the outward man. And I believe that verse 9 about the heart of grace, let it continue, that was true then. Let me say it again. In 2024, that part hasn't changed at all, has it?
Oh, that's true. Very true. You know, in verse 9, It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. I looked up that word strengthened, and secured or established. It's very interesting. The word there means guaranteed. Our heart, now that we have peace with God, we have assurance where we stand with God. We have the strength and the leading of the Lord to live appropriately, to resist temptation, to treat others in a God-honoring way. Our heart is strengthened by grace. I love it that it's the word guaranteed.
Amen.
Because, Bert, wouldn't it be true to say God's grace is our only guarantee? I mean, if we don't have the grace of Jesus to save us and shape us, I mean, we really don't have anything.
We're of men most miserable because there's no one who measures up. The Bible makes it plain. All have sinned and come short. It means we've missed the mark. Man, the chasm between being right, wrong with God and right with God could be 10 feet. And I don't care if you jumped 9 feet, 11 inches, you're almost there. But Alex, guess what? You're not there. Only Jesus Christ could bridge the gap between sinful man and a righteous God. And it could only happen through Christ Jesus. And he's making this plain here, as the writer said, it's not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Said, listen, some of you want to go back and quit living by grace, going back to the law. Listen, it doesn't profit you anything. It did not profit those in the Old Testament anything. He said, that's what I've been writing about. I've been trying to show you that. Do not get waylaid. Do not be distracted. Do not detour from living and being saved by grace. Alex, we're saved by grace. We live by grace. And we will die by grace in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It's grace all the way through. Yes, go ahead.
Bert, living on the East Coast, many times I've been to the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and I've often thought about this when I've been there at the beach. Across the ocean is England, right? Europe. And I thought, put a diving board and try to dive across the ocean. I mean, even the greatest diver might go 10 feet and you'd miss Great Britain by 3,000 miles. Well, that's how far you're going to miss heaven if you try to get there on works. I mean, really. Verse 9 says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. All right. There was the sacrificial system. The high priest would take animals, and it was a temporary covering for sin. The blood of Jesus was a permanent eradication of sin, and all you need to do is receive that free gift of salvation. And Bert, what 9 and 10 and following, I think, are talking about is that ritual. And, legalism can come about in many forms. I mean, there are those, my heart grieves for Jewish people that don't receive Messiah, Jesus. But I mean, there are plenty of people of all strata that are thinking their good works are going to get them to heaven. I've talked to people and they'll say, well, I've tried to be a good person and I hope that'll account for something. Well, it won't. And Bert, when we have Jesus, to paraphrase verse 10, we've eaten at the one altar of salvation.
That's it.
That is the perfect Son of God, who made a perfect, complete sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And I guess I would say to anybody listening, if you've never trusted Christ, he's as close by as a prayer. Don't trust your own goodness. We really have none, but trust Christ's righteousness, which will be yours today the minute you put your faith in him.
Amen, Alex. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. God doesn't have an alternate. He doesn't have a plan B. It is only through Christ and Christ alone. And it says in verses 11, really through 14, listen to this. I'm just going to read them. I think we'll get to verse 15, and then we'll start there tomorrow because it says therefore, because it kind of is a break. For the bodies of these beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate, talking about Calvary where it took place. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Again, Christ has done the work. Jesus has paid the price. We're not looking for something here. We're looking for something that God has done. And I think this makes me think of John 14. He has prepared a place for us, Alex, and we will get to go to him. We don't go through the law. We come to Christ by grace. You don't prove yourself by keeping the law. You prove yourself by your faith in Christ and Christ alone. This is amazing, the picture of Jesus being crucified outside the city walls of Jerusalem, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think about that. I mean, the Son of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, Jesus said he came not to abolish but fulfill. And yet, he did fulfill the law. Do you remember in the Old Testament that it was the scapegoat, and they would lay hands on it as if to symbolically impart the guilt of the people onto the scapegoat? And the scapegoat was taken outside the city and really, really run off into the wilderness. Jesus, the perfect righteous Son of God, became the guilt bearer for us. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was taken outside the city. He became our scapegoat, didn't he?
He really did. And again, he's the one we seek. And I'm going to do it again. He was writing to the Hebrews that had been born again, but they had been saved, but they said, man, we need to go back to the law some. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, listen, Jesus is sufficient. He's enough. Matter of fact, if you look at it, he's the best. Well, we're going to take your phone calls, and that phone number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your Bible question today.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit afa.net and click on Streaming.
We're going to talk about this further issue. Our response. Who's behind this?
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Jeremiah descended from a priestly lineage in Judah. He grew up in Anathoth, about 2 to 4 miles northeast of Jerusalem, where the temple was located. He began ministering prophetically about 627 BC, during the 13th year of King Josiah's reign. This is about 5 years before Josiah began Judah's spiritual reformation. It is very likely that Josiah's reformation was influenced by Jeremiah's preaching.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You have a reason to praise the Lord. I hope you do. And that starts with receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've heard Alex and myself talk about it, and if you need more help, there's a number that you can call. They're our partners in evangelism. It is this number, 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. They'll pray with you. They'll share with you Scripture, and they will help you come to the place in your life where you can know Jesus is Savior and Lord. Well, Alex, we're ready for phone calls. Are you ready, brother?
888-589-8840. We're excited to get your Bible questions.
And let's go to Texas, big state of Texas, and it's Barry. Barry, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question today is regarding imprecatory prayer. Now, I hope I've got the pronunciation correct. That is found in several places in the Psalms, for example, where the psalmist is praying for the destruction of his enemies. And I'm just wondering whether that is any place in the New Testament. I know God is quite explicit about hating evil. That is the word that's used in Romans and also in Proverbs. People today often talk about hate the sin but love the sinner. And I'm just wondering whether, based on imprecatory prayer, whether there's any situation whereby the sinner and the sin becomes indistinguishable in the New Testament.
Barry, thank you for this great question. Alex, we've had some awesome questions, and this is a good one. I've dealt with this before, and I'm going to give an answer that I have, Alex. And this is one of those areas I've heard disagreement between people that have great high regard for the Scriptures. First of all, Barry, I think we do pray that those people who are in charge, whether it be in charge of a ministry, in charge of a country, in charge of a hate group, that we pray, oh God, speak to them, draw them to yourself. But I can also add to that, but God, it's kind of like the three Hebrew children, but if not, when they said, you can deliver us, but if not, we're still not going to bow down to you. It's what they told the king. I think, Lord, if they're not going to be saved, I pray that you would bring confusion and destruction to what they're trying to do. Now, Alex, I believe that with all my heart. I feel confident in praying that way. I haven't felt convicted in praying for that way with even leaders here in America when they seem like they're bent on evil. And I say, God, draw them to yourself, convict them. But God, do not let their plans go forward, bring destruction to them, and bring chaos to them. Alex, go ahead.
Well, this is a fascinating subject, and I really appreciate this call because, you know, obviously we are supposed to pray for others and pray for, you know, 1 Timothy 2, pray for kings and leaders. But in the Old Testament, there are some psalms that are called the imprecatory psalms. In fact, there's a bunch of them, and these are praying against certain things, right? Now, the question becomes, can Christians pray the imprecatory Psalms. Well, Jesus quoted them. Jesus quotes in John 2 and 15 from what are some of the imprecatory Psalms, and the Apostle Paul quotes from Psalm 69, which is thought to be imprecatory. And the bottom line, I read a commentator once, Bert, that said, imprecation, if I'm pronouncing correctly, is to pray against people that are obstructing the kingdom of God, desiring to do things that would limit the gospel. Now, here's my point. We pray for people to get saved. But, Bert, even a very shocking verse, like, for instance, somebody that's in sin and not only harming themselves but the church. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul talked about praying and then giving them over unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their soul might be saved. Now, I bet you don't hear much preaching like on 1 Corinthians 5:5 in this day and age, but we're in a spiritual battle. And I'll put it this way, and I'll throw it back to you. We want people to be saved. We don't wish anybody any ill. But I think it's okay to pray that God would overrule evil purposes and plans, and that God would do whatever it takes to get some people born again, even if it means letting them hit rock bottom.
You know, I'm reading through the Bible, and I've just gotten through with 2 Chronicles. So you read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles in a row, and you get a lot of kings and a lot of repetition. But let me share with you the main reason and the main thing that happened when the enemy was coming against Judah or Israel, that confusion, when they had prayed, there would be confusion in the midst of the enemy. And many times they turned on one another and they were destroyed. And all they were praying was, they were praying, Lord, help us have the victory. And many times the confusion would reign in the enemy's camp. And they would turn on one another. It happened many times, Alex. And so praying for confusion in the lives of evil organizations, and I use that word, I'm throwing it out purposefully, when they're trying to kill children, when they're trying to get the identity of individuals lost. Again, it's like the agenda. We're to love these people, but we're to hate the organizations that's pushing and promoting this destruction. And so I know they have a hard time understanding that and it's the old cliche, love, we do love that person enough to pray for them. They'd get right with God. But we're also saying, Lord, bring confusion to that. They're promoting anything that's anti-God. So, Barry, awesome. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, the old evangelists, man, they would get the church to pray that the saloons would close.
Amen.
And pray that the bars go out of business and things like that. And you know what? We do wield spiritual power. And, yeah, we want all souls to get saved, but the abortion industry, dear God, please shut that down. When public education is turning kids into atheists, oh, God, change it or shut it down. And I think it's not only appropriate but urgent that we pray the beneficial prayers of salvation, but the imprecatory prayers of God eliminating evil.
I do too. Barry, thank you. I know we spent more time on that question because I'm not sure, that may be the first time we've gotten that one exactly like that, Barry. So thank you for that call. We're going to try to get to more calls, and the number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Larry. Larry, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bert and Alex, for your ministry. And Alex, good to talk to you, a fellow Piedmonter.
Amen. Amen. We love North Carolina, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm over here in Davie County. I guess a couple counties over from you. But my question is, if we get raptured or otherwise when we go to see the Lord, are we going to have free will? I know we're going to have the mind of Christ, but what's to prevent us from sinning, like during the millennial kingdom, or anytime thereafter once we're in heaven? Do we surrender our free will?
Larry, great
question.
How's that
going to work?
Yeah, man, we're getting good questions. Alex, okay, I want to go to the Apostle Paul, and he is talking about living in the body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, I'm not talking about just our flesh, but our nature. Right now, we're dual-natured, Larry. We are. Paul said, I have a desire to do this, but also have a desire not to do this. They fight against one another. But one of these days, that old nature is gone, Alex. We may have a free will, but the will is to do the will of the Father and to praise Him, isn't it?
It is. Bert, you may remember Vance Havner had a sermon called Home Before Dark.
One of my favorites.
Did you ever hear that sermon?
I heard him preach that one personally. I was there. Yes, I heard him preach it when he preached
it.
Yes, it was.
Oh, well, folks, just trust me on this. Vance Havner was a giant. I mean, really. I beg of you, familiarize yourself with Vance Havner. But anyway, I've listened to it. I've got a cassette tape of it. And he said, beloved, there is coming a day when what you are is what you will be. And he was talking about it. He said, look, him that is unjust will be unjust still. Him that is righteous will be righteous still. And Vance Havner said, and I agree, to the caller's question, you know, what if there was a second fall or something once we get to heaven? No, it's not going to happen. Because Vance Havner said, and I agree, that when we get our glorified body, there's going to be a change that we are not going to be susceptible to sin, that sin nature is gone. That which is perfect will be made perfect. All right. Bert, for the angels, the test for heaven and eternity was, did they join Lucifer's rebellion or not? And we know that one-third of the angels fell, two-thirds did not. And that was their test. For us, the test that will determine your status in eternity, will you receive Jesus as your forgiver and leader and savior in this life? So I don't completely understand it, but I think that when we get that glorified body, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, this mortal puts on immortality, will be exactly that, everlastingly redeemed, immortal. And I don't think we need to worry that there would somehow be another fall. We'll be with Christ, and our status there in heaven will be permanent.
Amen. Larry, thank you for your good question, thoughtful question. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Chris. Chris, thank you for holding, and thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding, you say you can never lose your salvation. And let's say, like that mentor that you were earlier talking about, you knew that he was saved at one point, and he turned from, he had to leave because he was, whatever the problem was. Because a lot of people say, well, maybe he wasn't saved at all if he left. But my verses is John 15, where it talks about Jesus says, I'm the true vine and ye are the branches. And ye that abideth in me will live in me forever, but ye that abideth not will fall from the vine. And if you was to repent, he'll graft you back in. But if you didn't repent, well, then at the end of harvest time, which would be the end of age, the angel would come scoop all the branches and throw them in the fire. Or kind of like another verse, Hebrews 10:26, where it says, if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice.
Okay, Chris, thank you. Mm-hmm. Listen, when you read scriptures, what you do there, Alex, you said it, and I'm going to try to quote you, and I throw it to you. there is some unclarity in some of the passages, but it keeps us a little bit on the edge. And what we studied today, I would say, Chris, in Hebrews, it says, continue in this grace, continue in this love. Now, what happens when that happens, if they don't, according to what I see in other scriptures, it's not a loss of salvation. It is a loss of joy. It is a loss of rewards in heaven, and it's filled with regret. Alex, go ahead.
Well, you know, 1 John 2:19 says of those that fell away, quote, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained. But by falling away, they made plain that they were not of us. If you come to Christ to be born again, you can get grafted in. And Bert, I think those that fell away were never grafted in the first place, even though they might have appeared outwardly religious. I don't think you can lose your salvation, but it's not because we are vigilantly, resolutely trying to live moral lives. Our salvation and our security is all by the power of Christ, isn't it? Now, I've known people that fell deeply into sin and they repented and came back. I've also known people that fell deeply into sin and ultimately kept falling further and further till I've known a few that repudiated, denied, denigrated the Christian gospel they once affirmed. I don't think they ever knew Christ, because if you truly know Christ, you'd never leave him.
When Jesus Christ said, come unto me, and, you know, I think he meant it. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If I understand what those mean, it means that we're secure in him. The big thing is making sure you are secure. You can't answer for anyone else. And we can look, what about that guy? What about that? Listen, we're not in them. We're not them. We're not God. We cannot know. So that examination is for ourselves. Are we in Christ? Continue in him. Alex, take care up there in Milwaukee, and you're going to be on it. 5 o'clock Central Time, right?
On the Hamilton Corner. So, Bert, thank you for bearing with me in this noise, and thank the Lord for AFR.
We do. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate you. No matter where you are, brother, you are a blessing as we hear you share the Word of God. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.